Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Wednesday, November 3rd, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
Phil? Hey, Phil? Phil?
I think you have me confused with someone else. I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. You know what? It's time once again to crank up the old Sex Education podcast series. You know, the one where I chat with prominent educators, practitioners, and advocates of unconventional sexual expressions and lifestyles. It's the series where I take a look at the world of fetish sex, kink, and alternative lifestyles. And, speaking of edgy sex, I have a tantalizing show for you. I have here with me a woman I deeply admire. One I'm proud to call a friend. She is another Seattle treasure, the indomitable Mistress Catherine.
Now, don't you tell me you don't remember me, because I sure as heck fire remember you.
Okay, I remember you. Say, as you probably can guess from her name, Catherine is a professional dominant. She takes a break from her job of keeping the Emerald City perverts in line and entertained just long enough to join me here at my table to discuss her life in kink. I need to warn you, however, that Ginger the dog is here too to provide a bunch of distracting sound effects. She loves it when the ladies come to visit, don't you know? And she is particularly enamored with Catherine. I mean, who could blame her? Catherine is such a babe.
Do you have life insurance? Because if you do, you could always use a little more. Am I right or am I right or am I right?
I think we should discuss this at a later date. Catherine invites you to visit her on her personal website at pleasemistresscatherine.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by the ideal sponsor for this kink-filled series, Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, fetish wear, and gear right there on the front page of drdickssexadvice.com. Look for the Dr. Dick's Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site. You'll surely enjoy shopping at Dr. Dick's Stockroom because it's just so damn fun and, I might add, easy. Yesery sex fans, you can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those nasty toys you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts in unsavory neighborhoods, and you don't have to worry about leering salesmen scrutinizing what you buy. Why? Because you shop from the privacy of your own computer. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit my stockroom today. You'll be so glad you did.
Watch out for that first step. It's a doozy.
Alrighty then. On with the show.
Welcome, Miss Catherine, and thank you for popping by drdicksexadvice.com. I know you are super busy keeping all the Seattle perverts in line and entertained, so I'm especially grateful to be granted this opportunity to have you give us the sex education we so richly deserve. Would you like to say hello to the nice people?
Well, hello, perverts.
Yeah, and those are the naughty ones, too, because, and so naughty and nice, I mean, who's to know?
If someone wasn't naughty, why would they be listening to your podcast?
That's right.
Right there. So just if you have any doubt, if you are a Mormon and you're listening to this, just so you know, you're probably breaking the rules. So you might want to just log off right now.
So it's good to be in your radiant company once again. How long has it been since we broke bread together that one time?
Oh, gosh. I'm so not linear time girl. It doesn't really feel like it was that long ago.
I know.
So I was petting into the scale of like how that came about.
Well,
and
I can't even remember. And I know I was shooting porn back then.
Yes,
still,
that was hearing your
backstory.
I haven't
been doing that for a long time. And
yeah, you know. Which I'm very sad about, by the way.
Yeah, me too, in some degree. I could never connect with good and responsible web-based people.
Oh.
And in order to make any money at porn these days, it all has to be web-based.
Yeah.
And, you know, direct-to-consumer, download your own and all that kind of stuff. And the people I worked with are just completely flaky and, you know. I just quit bumping my head against the brick
Which
wall.
Which is, unfortunately, just the reality if you're talking about anything that has to do with sex.
Yeah.
That there's this confusion that you can't have professionalism involved with anything that has to do with genital stimulation, which is a complete fallacy, really. There's actually more reason for professionalism than less.
I think so, too. And, you know, there were people who, you know, would beg me, and, I want to get into adult, and as soon as they, this is work. Well, yeah.
It's not just coming and getting to have sex with hot people.
What?
I don't understand that. No, but it's been a while.
It has.
Again, I was trying to do the math, and it's a little bit timely given certain things that have happened in the world at large. But I think it was that I'd seen you posting something on Craigslist.
Maybe.
It was something, and it had to do with you were very well spoken, and so what you were presenting was just that, this is awesome, of someone who's industry savvy, who's very well spoken. It came out as very empathic and intuitive, which is something that I definitely resonate with.
Yeah.
So it was this is an interesting dude. I need to meet this guy. And then meeting you and tip of the iceberg, like I had no idea, getting your backstory.
Yeah, right.
Woo!
Yeah, it's funny because, and I was so surprised to meet you, and then we lost contact, and then... I've been meeting a lot of your friends and interviewing a lot of your friends, and then we discovered each other on Facebook, which is, you know,
the beauty of Facebook.
Because it's like high school with not so much acne.
Yeah. I don't really feel the need to put up any of those.
So I've been spending a whole lot of time on your website. Please, MistressCatherine.com.
I'm hoping that was in prep for this, not just, you know, you're one of my stalkers.
First thing, I must commend you on the double entendre, begging, please, Miss Catherine, and the demand, please, Miss Catherine, damn you. This sets the tone for your site very nicely.
Well, thank you.
Did you have to work at that, or did that just come to you?
It's not that I don't have moments of lyrical brilliance. I can actually claim that. That was mostly I need a website that involves my name.
Uh-huh.
And, that's kind of hard to find, like websites that were just parked. There weren't even actual websites.
Yeah,
they'd just been claimed. So,
yeah.
Please, Mistress Catherine was available, and that was...
How long has it been around?
Another
linear question. Sorry.
Yeah, no. I've been in the biz for 6.5 years now, and I think that I'd done the website like a year in, roughly. Again, not completely perfect on that, but it's been there for a while, and the basic design has been consistent, but there have been certain things texturally that have been fine-tuned and pictures and stuff.
Right. And second, I wanted to say something. It's clear to even the casual observer that you are no dilettante. You eat, drink, and sleep this stuff, yes?
Yes. I insist on being completely leathered up. I'm wearing quite the get-up right now. In fact, I can hardly breathe. This corset is so tight. And I almost killed myself climbing the stairs in the 6-inch stilettos.
I know.
Woo.
What's wrong with you? You know better than that.
Well, I think that it's, honestly, yes, that I definitely identify being a dominant, and kink is a huge part of my sexuality, and sex is a huge part of my day-to-day. It's the conversations I have. It's the thoughts that are running through my head more often than not. And then, of course, there's my profession is very sexual-based. But, yeah, I think that it's the conflict between what someone would envision, which would be, me grocery shopping, all leathered up, which has not been critical of people who choose to do that, but I kind of prefer comfort. I'm not heading to the grocery store in yoga pants, but I'm also not doing it in full form regalia.
Right.
But it's something that I'm always kind of constantly aware of, power dynamics and interpersonal relationships, and I think that's the most consistent.
And I've heard that from other people that I've interviewed for this series, and it's not so much the externals, it is the internal.
I mean,
it's the, you know, what's going on in one's mind, you know, where they are in the world, and that sort of thing. I think that's what sets a real power player apart from somebody who is a dilettante.
Yeah, someone who just, you know, wow, I went to Lover's Package and I got this toy. And
and now I want to be a dom.
Da-da-da! Which, again, not being incredibly critical of folks who are exploring, but I still think that in other professions you wouldn't necessarily put the word professional ahead of something that you didn't have a certain amount of personal skill and affinity to.
Yeah, you would, like, I'm a doctor. No, I'm a lawyer.
Yeah.
Because I read a law book once.
Yeah, I'm a professional hairdresser, even. And yeah, you'd kind of want to make sure that someone had actually been to school for that, not just, I own a pair of scissors, so mm-hmm. I'm qualified to cut your hair.
Can I ask you how you came to choose mistress? I know some other pro-dom women mm-hmm. who use lady or domina. Mm-hmm. Is there any significance to that, necessarily?
Not a ton. I mean, I like the word mistress, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't really run into too much confusion in this day and age with people thinking that mistress implies that I'm someone's mistress in the terms of there's some rich guy who's giving me fur coats and hiding me from his wife,
yeah,
and,
right.
you know, and I speak in a high nasally accent and he works for the mob. No, it's not quite that kind of confusion. Doesn't really come up, but it's just the one that felt the most comfortable, and mm-hmm. the others didn't feel quite right. And there are certain terms that I'm totally okay being applied to me. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily feel comfortable going around and having that as the prefix before my name.
Right.
Stuff like goddess,
yeah.
that, well, right. yes, I am a manifestation of the goddess,
uh-huh. right.
being female gendered, yeah. and that's totally fine. And okay is a word of adoration, but...
Yeah.
And honestly, in a play setting when I'm doing dominance and submission
yeah.
role play,
yeah.
if anyone's referring to me, I actually kind of prefer yes ma'am as
yeah.
opposed to yes mistress.
Oh, how cool.
Because my family is Southern, and so I miss hearing that out here mm-hmm. in the very casual Pacific Northwest, as well as it's just an old world politeness.
Yes.
And it's easy to get military boys to it because they're kind of trained for that. And
excellent.
Yeah.
There you go. So your site is so chock full of stimulating information and images, I hardly know where to begin our conversation. So let me start with some things that you say about yourself.
Uh-oh.
The page with condemned by your own words. The page with your personal information reads, "First off, I'm a big old perv in a tiny little body. I was raised in a very open household and just never got the message that sexuality is dirty or wrong. There are a few consensual activities that I have seen, read, or heard of that truly make me say, ew, although almost all things kinky interest me. That doesn't mean that I want to actively participate in all the kinky activities out there."
Mm-hmm.
So amazing. Can you tell us something of your upbringing? Your parents must have been very special then.
Yeah, I just, every time I look back over that, I think about correcting the whole, like, I grew up in a really open household, which makes it sound like, yes, my parents didn't really believe in clothing. And I have friends that would have, like, designated
yeah.
naked time.
Yeah.
I didn't quite grow up in that household.
Yeah.
My parents were not hippies. They were very middle of the road. I think it wasn't that it was heavily loaded with sexual positive programming, and my parents were definitely monogamous. They're still married, still hopelessly in love with each other. I think it was really the ideal version of parenting of there was a whole lot of support.
Mm-hmm.
There was understanding and empathy
mm-hmm.
for what I wanted to explore, who I wanted to grow into.
Oh, how cool.
And then, yeah, what we should all strive for in creating role model situations, whether that's biological or not, of the teaching by example of there was always a ton of physical affection in addition to the emotional affection of I'm really invested in getting to know you and what you're up to and what did you do today and
that's
who's your friend.
That's a rarity, would you not say?
Yes, actually. I most of my life I have had friends that have come from all but the polar opposite
right.
of that
yeah.
environment, either a lot of criticism, a lot of unnecessary restriction, or just apathetic neglect.
Right.
But my folks are both really very engaged. And just living with two people in a committed relationship that never felt the need to raise their voice to each other, never had to get ugly with each other, and that we're clearly not just in love with each other, we're in lust with each other.
No kidding.
That they waited until I was a little bit older before they started groping each other's butts in the kitchen, mm-hmm. but it was very clear that they had a very healthy sexual relationship that was based on a good deal of affection. Wow. So coming from that very healthy romantic environment, I think has contributed greatly to my sexual exploration and openness.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just really, if you have a good foundation, then you're more likely to feel comfortable branching out.
I would think so. So one of the most common misconceptions about us kinky folks is that if one self-identifies as kinky, that person probably knows no bounds in their perversion. That's simply not true. Right.
Well, thank you for just going ahead and saying that. I think that kinky people are almost better than non-acknowledged kinky people, and that you can't have a conversation with a kinky person that's going to lead to bedroom time that doesn't specifically involve these are my boundaries.
Right.
This is what's okay,
that's
this is what isn't.
Thing, really.
Yeah. That kinky people, out of the very nature of the fact that we're doing more explorative stuff,
mm-hmm.
there's a necessary awareness of exactly what your boundaries are.
Right.
Instead of just getting people that are more neophytes, they're looking at exploring and have this fantasy,
right.
which most definitely does have limits. But there's still part of the fantasy is being able to come to a dominant and say, whatever pleases you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not utterly evil, so I'm not going to be like, all right, well, I'm going to send you out into the middle of the street, buck naked, clucking like a chicken, because that turns me on. So, of course, there's definitely limits, which is all part of the beauty of it. It's
right.
the being able to work within limited restraints.
Right.
Literal and figurative.
You go on to say about yourself, I'm over 30, I have a BA in theater,
mm-hmm.
I'm bisexual, I read as much porn and erotica as I can get my hot little hands on. I've even been known to write some. I'm Wiccan, I'm an incurable sensualist,
mm-hmm.
my mother is a kick-ass southern woman,
mm-hmm.
and a complete dirty old lady.
Oh my God, yes.
I'm a Cancer, but Leo is in my Venus house, so I can be very intuitive and emotional, but I am intensely alpha in my seduction style. I'm adamantly non-monogamous, and I live my life in the open amidst a beautiful, talented, and accepting group of pervies in their own way friends.
Mm-hmm.
I read this story that you wrote, the one that you posted on your site,
mm-hmm.
the one about the fella on the bus. That was very nice, don't you know?
Yes, and it's worth clarifying that is erotica. There's a certain amount of
mm-hmm.
kind of non-consent, and that
uh-huh.
is something that
right,
is
right,
very
right.
sexual predatory.
Right.
But again, it's porn, so
right.
it's meant to be titillating
yes.
and explore that. But yeah, that was a fun piece to write and to read.
Mm-hmm. Do you write for your own pleasure, or are you writing professionally?
Mostly for my own pleasure,
mm-hmm.
And I wish that I was better at actually putting to paper or to computer
mm-hmm.
screen
mm-hmm.
a lot of the stories that I come up with, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of the play that I do involves storytelling
right.
as well, in that being able to, in the moment, put the person that I'm playing with into that situation
yeah.
using the information that I have about
yeah.
their sexuality
yeah.
and putting in particulars, so...
That's where the theater background comes in, too?
In so much as theater training involves being able to put yourself in someone else's shoes,
mm-hmm.
And fairly high stakes putting yourself in someone else's shoes, because
mm-hmm.
in a collegiate environment, you're going to be judged for how
right.
good a job you
right.
do, and then there's an audience that may or may not approve. So
right.
there's that, and then there's also improv skills, which is being able to, okay, name a place, you're in a park, give me an object, a wrench, and a situation, you just got promoted, go! So it's sort of the kinky version of that, especially
uh-huh.
being a pro dom, is I spend a good deal of time talking with people before we get into play, but it's still,
mm.
it's, you know, a half an hour to an hour of someone you've just met,
mm-hmm.
here's who they are, here's what they're into, and that has to do with...
I couldn't do it.
You know, practice makes perfect.
Well, you know, I don't, but I don't even aspire. You know, I'm on a number of, you know, like profile sites and stuff like that. And because of my age and my body type, I'm hit up regularly by folks saying, you know, oh, would you be, you know, hello, sir. Would you want to be my daddy?
And I'd say,
oh, you know what? I could sustain that for maybe 15 minutes. And then I just, I don't know, it seems like work to me.
Well, so
good for you that you can do that.
Yeah, I had a partner that I was involved with for a while that kind of got a little additionally inspired. He was very poly, so he was more exposed to kink, even though he didn't really identify as kinky or as a top. Mm-hmm. He also had a theater background. Mm-hmm. And he had played with someone who had specifically said, I'd really like you to top me. And she was hot, so of course he's like, sure, I'll try that. And he'd heard me tell stories, so he gave it a shot, and he came back to me, and that was his thing. It was just like, yeah, she had an absolutely great time. I mean, she was bragging to all of her friends the next day, but God, that was a lot of work.
Yeah.
And then just looking at him and going, sweetie, if it's something that's naturally part of your sexuality, it isn't work, because any energy that you're putting out, you're automatically getting back, because you have those receptors to really just feed off of that interaction, and then just that innate connected to your happy bits, intuitive just love for creating something fabulous and fantastic for a person. And then his other criticism was, I really wish that she'd been more demonstrative sexually. And then that was the other of, sweetie, if you wanted her to suck your cock, you should have just told her to suck your cock. That's part of the fun of being the dominant. So she probably would have loved it more because you said
that,
but she's not just going to initiate it. That's the whole fun of being the submissive, is that you wait for instruction.
Oh, I get it.
And then he, of course, was the whole like, really? Damn it!
Over. So being adamantly non-monogamous, is that the same thing as being polyamorous? And if so, can you tell us more about how this plays out in your life?
I resisted the term poly for a really long time, and it wasn't necessarily because I didn't think that poly was a reasonable relationship choice, or that didn't actually fall very well in line with how I like to interact with people relationship-wise. It was that I wasn't okay with the seniority thing of primary, secondary. That didn't really work, and that I preferred to look at relationships more fluidly. So, like, if I was going to, you know, at a time, do the primary, secondary thing, that primary, well, I would be my primary partner. I have the most consistent and loving sexual relationship with myself. I certainly spend the most amount of time with myself. And then secondary would probably have been a very good female friend that I had, totally platonic relationship, but, you know, she had seniority, she had that emotional precedence. So didn't really identify as poly for a while, and then realized that because I was doing the non-monogamous thing, dating people who did poly-identify was a lot easier than dating people that were okay at the beginning with the, so just so you know, I'm very interested in molesting you. I think that would be lovely. I think we could both have a really good time with that. Here's what I'm not interested in. I'm not interested in being your girlfriend. I'm not interested in being your wife or the mother to your children. I'm never going to be exclusive. But, again, I'm very interested in molesting you. And here's some of the perks that come with that. And then just opening the kinky wardrobe of, but you get all this, dun-dun-dun. And that you'd get folks that were very impressed by that at the beginning, and then we're not so okay with that once they got emotionally invested, which emotional investment was always on the table. Exclusivity was not.
That's right. And some folks can't make that distinction at all. And, you know, people think that, you know, fidelity is a genital issue, and but to their detriment, it seems to me.
Just the idea that love isn't infinite, and that it's very much like sex. The more you get, the more you want.
Yes.
The more love you have, the more room for love you have to share with others.
Absolutely. I agree. So, you, interestingly, you say, I'm Wiccan and I'm an incurable sensualist, back to back. Do you mind defining Wicca for those in our audience who may not know what that is?
Well, we don't have any specific texts like the Bible or the Quran or the Torah that you can look at and say, oh, this defines what it is to be Wiccan. And if you were to ask 10 different people who identified as Wiccan, what their faith was, then you'd probably get 10 different answers mm-hmm. with a little bit of a through line. So the through line for Wiccan is that it's definitely a faith that puts an emphasis on connection as opposed to disconnection. Mm-hmm. So there's the duality of the deity structure. So even though there might be a plethora of deities that a person would call to in their practice, there's a balance between male and female there, mm-hmm. which you don't find in Christian Judaic faith.
Right.
And
that's for sure.
Being, you know, female side gendered, I really don't like being the bastard stepchild of something that I'm, you know, putting my spiritual allegiance to.
So true.
Yeah. There's also an implicit sexual positivity within Wiccan, not complete hedonism as I think we've been labeled with in the
mm-hmm.
past.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more just a matter of, it's the idea, it's the core idea, actually, of the sex positive movement.
Mm-hmm.
It's about consent, the
mm-hmm.
do what thy will and let it harm none.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the rule of threefold, which is that anything you do comes back to you
mm-hmm.
threefold. So I think I'd be much more inclined to look at that and go, well, so if I give one person an orgasm, that means I get three.
Yes.
As opposed to if I hit
Let's
someone,
join Wicca.
Yeah, if I'm non-consensually hitting someone with a stick, then I get non-consensually hit with
right.
a stick three
right,
times
right, right.
over. So mm-hmm. there's definitely a moral compass within it, but it tends to be very connected to nature, recognizing that connection
mm-hmm.
between people. You know, don't be a dick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no offense, Dr. I don't be an asshole. That's the first principle of it. Don't be an asshole.
Is Wicca the same thing as being pagan?
Pagan is a Christian Judaic term, so I tend to be reluctant to
okay.
use that.
You
and
good?
Pagan is their term for anything that isn't
yeah.
Christian. So
right.
technically someone who is Buddhist would
yeah.
also be considered
pagan
so by
true.
That term.
It's,
but,
yeah.
you know, it's language is fluid, and
right.
so now it usually is used to include people that are Wiccan or Druidic,
right.
but are of that same ilk.
Mm-hmm. So it's nature. Religion, yes?
Yeah, it's
right.
very nature connected.
Right. Cool.
We like trees, us Wiccans.
I like trees.
Trees are cool. They make it so we can breathe. What's not to like about that?
All the Wicca folk that I know are exceptionally sensual. Do you suppose that there's a necessary connection between the two concepts?
Well, there's that emphasis on connection, so I'd really like to connect my hands with your sexy
mm-hmm.
soft skin, so
mm-hmm.
there's that.
Mm-hmm.
There's the lack of any criticism over natural, organic, consensual sexual congress.
Right.
So Wiccans tend to either aspire to or are actively getting possibly a little bit more sex than, I don't
mm-hmm.
know, like a Mormon.
Right.
So there's that. So, I mean, the more touch you're getting, the more touch you're open to, and yeah, just focusing on. And there's also within Wiccan is one of a number of faiths that focuses very much on energy
mm-hmm.
and the power of energy. So if someone who is Wiccan is touching you, it isn't just enjoying your skin, it isn't just enjoying the reaction that it's eliciting, it's a way of energetically connecting to your being beyond
mm-hmm.
just your physical
mm-hmm.
manifestation.
So that's your communion.
Mm-hmm.
Cool beans.
Yeah, my work is a core part of my sexual practice, both
mm-hmm.
in its healing aspects as well as its
yeah.
sexual aspects.
I want to get to that in
mm-hmm.
a second, but one more thing that you say about yourself. I find people and their sexuality infinitely fascinating. It is, bar none, by my favorite topic of conversation. I like the qualities and similarities. Differences are pretty much equal once you've heard enough stories.
Mm.
Having heard the things that I have, I don't really think that I'm all that out there. I know that many people who have the same feelings, fetishes, and desires that I do, and the only thing that seems to really mark us as different is the frequency in which we act on these feelings and how open we are about them.
Mm-hmm.
BDSM has been a part of my sexuality and relationships in one way or another for most of my adult life. This isn't just what I do, it is part of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
As such, I see myself as something of an ambassador for those who can't live in kinky land as often as they might like. And I take my role very seriously, even when our time together is less than serious. We are here to have fun, after all, but I will always strive to provide a safe, non-judgmental space, an embassy where you can truly be yourself and explore without condemnation. That is so brilliant.
Thank you.
A real sex-positive credo.
Yes. I think that anyone who is in the sex industry, if they can't, that last paragraph about, or just that, even that last sentence of creating a safe place for someone to explore,
right,
explore without being judgy.
Yeah.
If you can't honestly hold to that space, then you probably shouldn't be in the industry.
Yeah.
I really do feel strongly about that.
Well, I would think that, you know, wouldn't it be nice if, you know, even vanilla folks are, you know, just around the issue of sexuality, if we could all just be that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how wonderful would marriages be if, you know, we weren't afraid to allow our partners to express themselves?
Yeah, admittedly, it's worth mentioning that because of the nature of my work, I don't see as many healthy relationships as I exist that are out there.
Right.
You know, if you're working in an ER, you're not seeing so many healthy bodies. You're seeing
right.
bodies
so
that are traumatized. So I recognize that there are a lot of relationships that are open and communicative and honestly supportive, not just supportive of the easy stuff, but the stuff that kind of makes you go, ooh, I've confused feelings about
that.
But yeah, I would totally be fine being out of a job. I don't think that I ever would.
Mm-hmm.
I think that things would just shift.
Not overly likely.
Not overly likely that it can be scary, I think, especially in long-term relationships, to discover something new about your partner that isn't something that you necessarily have in common.
Right.
And then
because that disrupts the whole power dynamic in a relationship, in all relationships. I mean, business or pleasure relationships, loving relationships, whatever. They all have power dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they can be disrupted by one thing or another, and some people are really uncomfortable with that, as you suggest.
Yeah, but change—it's the disruption is basically it's change, which
and that's going to happen regardless if you you know, say yay to it or not.
Yeah, correct, and that it's really a matter of if people are really committed to being in a relationship and honestly calling each other helpmates, it should involve creating a safe space for your partner to come to you and be honest, because there are a number of people that get into conventional vanilla relationships aware of the fact that they have kinky desires and interests that they don't share with their partners, but
they're going to hope that they're going to sublimate them, and you know, and
I'm done with that. That's not I'm not going to be that person anymore, which
or Bobby Whitebread is going to do it. And
yeah, and all I can think of is really, and it's not necessarily the most PC metaphor, but if Catholic priests can't control their sexuality, that are 24/7, 24/7, I am a representative of God, and this is my entire focus, and you're surrounded by an infrastructure that is all there to support your celibacy. If they can't maintain that, you, as a normal, average, kinky individual who is constantly being exposed to sexual stimulus, really? You think you're just going to be able to walk away from that? Because it just doesn't happen. When I see people,
the culture tells us that it's this binary system, that there's one person for each of us, and when we find that person, then we're going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And the Prince Charming, and it just. But it never lives itself out. I mean, and anyone who's paying the least bit of attention should be able to figure that out. But yet that they fall into that trap over and over again. It's just like stunning.
I blame Disney personally.
Freaking
fairy tales, man! They were so cute. They had the catchy songs, and
I know.
How could you not want to? To live that, but it's really the biggest advice I have when I see people that are young people is that don't sell out of own your sexuality. Be honest with your partners about what this is, because it is a really hard sell to be in a long term relationship, and 20, 30 years in. Finally get to that breaking point and then have to turn to your partner and say, sweetie, I'd really like you to do this and this and this, knowing that there's a huge room for rejection. And the biggest part of that rejection is going to be how long have you been sitting on this and knowing this and not telling me?
Right. And the retort could easily be, how long have you been sitting on me, you know, preventing me from being open and honest with you?
Yeah.
So it's a two-way street there, it seems to me. So being open and about and acting on our eroticism seems to be the key to being a happy, healthy, integrated sexual being, yes?
It's not that just because you are living true to yourself as a kinky human being, you're just carte blanche for nothing but happiness. It's there are still conflicts that come up. There's still moments of self-doubt, and just because you figure out that you're kinky doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you have like a set amount of this is my kinky, that's not going to expand and grow and go to new places that you might be uncomfortable with or your partners might be uncomfortable with. But it's a damn good start.
Right.
Living true to your sexual self is a huge component of just being true to who you are as a person.
Right.
And
right.
I believe that because I don't devalue sexuality. Human beings are ridiculously horny little species, honestly. Us and those bonobos are just constantly trying to get the sexy going on. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
I think that everything in balance, but still it's... The demonizing of sexuality in general, of course you're going to demonize aberrant sexuality because it's just that much scarier. Something that you'd mentioned earlier of the kinky people have no boundaries.
Right.
I think that one of the places that thought comes from is people's own fear, and you definitely see this with the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, questioning, queer community, is that a lot of the hatred comes from self-hatred.
Right.
I think that a lot of the fear that people have around kink and kinky sexuality is that same fear of self,
right.
that same fear of, well, there's this kind of thing that I like to think about when I masturbate.
Yeah.
I'm not okay telling anyone, and I really don't know what to do with this information. It's very alien to my understanding of myself.
Right.
So I'm going to be very critical of it and others.
That's right. And possibly try to beat it out of other people.
Yeah. If you're going to be beating on someone, you should really get permission for that.
That's for so sure.
That's the good kinky thing.
And I'm just looking at my clock, and I see that we are over time. I know.
Chatty-patty.
I need to get to the bottom of you and your work, and we haven't even started there. So I'm going to have to ask you to come back next week, will you?
Maybe. Well, yes, of course I'd come back. This is, as I said, on my side. I love talking about sexuality.
Oh, yay!
This is an awesome topic, and being able to share with your listeners my own, honestly, I don't think so, very unique view about such things. I'd love to come back and talk with you more.
And before we leave today, let's have your website address and walk us around a little bit and so we can visit you there in the interim.
Sure. It's Please Mistress Catherine, and that's Catherine with a K, .com. There's pretty good instructions on where to go from that. If I'm someone that you'd be interested in seeing, there's a frequently asked questions page that can kind of guide you through that. And then there's the contact page, which definitely gives you the fine points of how to get a hold of me. But whether you're interested in seeing me or not, there's some really great links on the site for other sexual education. And
lots of pretty pictures, huh?
Oh, yes. I have been incredibly generous with the free porn, so go for it. But yeah, it's a fun site. I'm pretty happy with it, and I can honestly say, not just for myself, but the feedback that I get from others is it's very representative of the play partner that you would have.
Great. And with that, we will say goodbye and visit you in cyberspace in the week until you show up next.
All right.
Thanks, Catherine.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
A fantastic show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week at this time for part two of my conversation with Mistress Catherine and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
Could I have one more of these with some booze in it, please?
Maybe you should serve yourself. I'm busy. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't? I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really naughty for yourself or the other pervs in your life. I mean, if you can't find what you're looking for in my stockroom, you just better call off the search right now. Dr. Dick has put together a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Take a look at my sex toy review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. It's chock full of swell gift-giving ideas. Look for the Dr. Dick Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site, drdicksexadvice.com.
I think I'm going to go back to my room and take a hot shower and maybe read a little Hustler.
That's a good idea, because then you won't be bothering me anymore. Before we conclude, I'd like to ask you, would you like to become a sponsor for one or more of my sex advice podcasts? As you know, I plug a product or service at the beginning and end of each show, just like I'm doing now. Each podcast has its own posting on my site, along with the name of the podcast sponsor and the banner for the product or service. The beauty part of this unique opportunity is that once a sponsor's ad is included in a particular podcast, that sponsor is embedded there forever. Your sponsorship also underscores your social conscience. Your marketing dollars will not only go to promote your product, but you will be doing so while helping to disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages. Simply put, you just can't get a better bang for your advertising buck. For further information, contact me through my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.